How's everyone doing? We get ready to do part two to the lesson entitled Tonight We Wrestle. Let's look at, again at the golden text. We came out of Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. It reads, "And he rose up that night, and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince have power with God and with men, and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that you would ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that which you're going to speak to our ears and our hearts. And we thank you, Father God, that you change us within by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Because the beginning of God is at the end of self, there's a season where we get tired of our sinful, flawed, tainted, lack of character, selfish ways. We all have our ways that we know are not right. Are you frustrated with some of the ways that you have? Do you ever sit back and collect your thoughts while you're by yourself and actually get embarrassed about the things you do or did and how you might, for example, how you might talk to people? You sit back in your own thoughts and you cringe many times at some of the crazy lack of character that you've shown. And you just sitting by yourself and you embarrassed about the things you've said or did or even thought. Arrogant thoughts. A prideful look, how you might may judge people, look down on others. Doesn't mean that anybody else know that you're doing it, but I'm talking about the real you on the inside. See, the real person is what we do and think when nobody's looking or listening. That's the real you. So how you may judge people and look down on people. We know that God desires truth in the inward parts. You may not know or ask yourself all the time, why can I forgive people? Why do I always hold grudges? Why am I always thinking about retaliation and getting revenge? Maybe you are a procrastinator, never motivated to do what you know you need to do, and you've become a professional at making excuses for your laziness. Or maybe you're full of lust and thoughts of immorality, but you've come to a place in the season where you're tired of going from one broken relationship to the next, and you're tired when you get back and you sit back and get in your own thoughts. You are ashamed at the trail of broken hearts and misery and devastation that you've left. The tears and the turmoil that was caused by your infidelities. And you're embarrassed because you never learned self-control and self-respect. Or maybe your life is a story of lies. You a liar, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, all liars. Either one of you could sell dirt to a cemetery. Every time y'all open up your mouth, it's fabricated for no reason, embellished, just made up stories. And you have come to a place where you are sick of it. This is where Jacob was. He was getting ready to meet his brother, whom he had not seen for decades. It had literally been at least 20 years since he last saw Esau when he stole his brother's blessing. I believe Jacob didn't want to meet Esau as the same trickster and con man he was in their last meeting. Jacob wanted a change, a real change, from the inside out more than anything. And when we look at the text, Jacob went from being alone wrestling with a man to wrestling with God. And as was stated in the previous message in part one, how can you be alone and wrestle with a man unless the man is yourself? So, in the midst of this, when we go through what I stated in part one, and we begin to deal with ourselves, there's a transition that takes place in that struggle. As you're determined to deal with you. Because the Bible says when we seek him and search for him with our whole hearts, we'll find him. And because the beginning of God is at the end of self, when we wake up and say, I'm going to deal with myself, as we struggle with that man, God appears. God appeared in Jacob's struggle. Because your disgust with yourself and desperation for God is what will qualify you to wrestle with God. We have to come to the end of ourselves before we can meet God, just like Samson did. After getting his hair cut and losing his strength, Samson was captured, blinded, and made fun of at the grinding mill of the Philistines for all to see. The Bible says something important that I want you to hear. It states that Samson bowed himself with all his might. Mercy. This is when God remembered him and his hair began to grow and his strength was regained and he was able to destroy all his enemies. When we bow ourselves with all our might, this is where Jacob was. He was so tired of being Jacob and the trickster and the con man that he said, you know what? It's time to bow myself with all my might. There is a resolve, a personal determination you will have when you say, I'm not letting you go, Lord, till you bless me. This is when you begin to wrestle with God and overcome. How do you wrestle with God? Well, Jesus is the Word of God. And when you grab a hold of a promise, a passage, or a story of a person in the Word, and you know it's about you, it's for you, that's when that resolve comes and you say, I am not going to let it go. The Holy Ghost will place something deep on the inside of you concerning that promise, that passage, or that person in the scriptures. And you will begin to cry out to God and say, this is mine. This is for me. And you're going to know it in the heart of your hearts. Now, when two people wrestle, they are actually grabbing and pulling at each other, attempting to gain advantage. Now, this story is not some metaphor or something made up. It actually happened. God actually appeared physically before Jacob, and Jacob physically handled God. We need to get this. There is a season where God wants us to grab a hold of him through his word, where we say, this ain't no more games, no more church, no more religion. No more mama and daddy stuff. Things they taught me. Things grandmama taught me. This is real. I need to know him for myself. To know that he is real. You have to come to a place of resolve, where you say, if I don't sing in another choir, if I don't sit in another Bible study, if I don't come down to another altar call, I have to know that this wasn't all for nothing. Jacob actually grabbed a hold of God and was wrestling with him. And I need you to get this. We have to come to a place where Christianity is not just our profession. This stuff is real. Where we get beyond just going to church, but we want to be the church. We get beyond calling ourselves the body of Christ, but you become his hands and his legs and his feet. You get beyond just the religious part and the ceremonial part about it. And you say, Lord, if I can't have when Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also in greater works. If I can't have that, I don't want anything. We have to come to a place, the end of ourselves with this is real. If don't nobody else want to know God in an intimate way, I need to know him. This is what Jacob was. You say, well, how do you wrestle? We have to learn how to grab God's head, because his head is where his sight is where his ears are, is where his mouth is where his mind, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is. We have to learn how to grab a hold of God's head. And we have to learn, when we wrestle with God, when we come to the end of ourselves and we're tired of being tired and we're tired of the old ways that we have, and we know that this stuff have to be real to us, we have to learn how to grab God's feet, because that's where his peace is. The Bible says to then the armor of God, to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Is when you begin to learn how to walk in peace, is when you grab a hold of the nature of God that is peaceful. You say the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And it's when that's when your tenacity shows up and you begin to learn how to grab God's arm, because his arms is his strength and his power and his authority. By his own right arm, he brings salvation. We got to learn how to grab God's hands, where his anointing and his blessings and his gifts and his graciousness is. Jacob was physically wrestling with God, and we have to come to a place where we come to the end of ourselves, where we wrestle with him, where we grab a hold of the parts of the word of God, and we grabbing a hold of his head and his arms and his waist and his legs and his feet. And we have to have such a resolve where we say, I will not let this go until you bless me. I'm tired of being religious. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of praying and not getting any answers. I'm tired of tithing and the windows of heaven never open unto me. I'm tired of all this religious stuff that the church and everybody is doing, but we never really see the results. God wants some Jacobs that say, are you willing to handle me? Are you willing to grab a hold of me and make me bless you? Because we living in a day of age with a whole bunch of fakes and imposters and religious folk. That's why God talks about there's a remnant. He always has a church within a church. He always have a people within the people who's not just going to be in it to look good and sound good, who's not going to be in it to be religious and do it because mama did it and daddy did it and the family did it. He always have a people within a people that's going to know them or him for their self. Part of this story that I love, when it says that he touched the hollow of his thigh. Let's look at it. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, speaking, God prevailed not against Jacob. God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Look at this. God actually touched this part of Jacob while they were wrestling. This means that God blessed him before he even knew it. Because when you're wrestling, until the other person wins, your adrenaline have kicked in and you're not paying attention to anything but winning. And until you tap out, and until you give up, you're not paying attention to any of the interaction in between. Jacob didn't know that God had blessed him during the wrestling. I need you to hear that. When you decide and you have a resolve within yourself and you say, tonight we wrestle, because I'm tired of being tired and I'm tired of being the way that I am. I can't change myself. Only God can change me. As soon as you engage God, he blesses you. So this means God blessed him before he even knew it. Now it says he touched him in the hollow of his thigh. What I need you to get from this is that this is where the seed of man is released from. During intimacy, when seed is released from the man, it comes from this place in the inside and the hollow of the man's thigh. So this means that God didn't only bless Jacob, but when he blessed and touched the hollow of his thigh, he blessed his seed. He blessed his future. He blessed the coming generations that was inside of Jacob. Mercy. And the proof that Jacob had an encounter with God would be in the limp or the new way of walking. Because when he got done wrestling with God and he began to walk away, he did not walk the way he used to walk. Jacob now had a limp. In other words, he had a new walk. And this is one of the ways where God, or how God will bless you when you engage him and you begin to search for him and cry out for him with all your heart. God will give you a new walk. That's what we need today, a new walk as new believers. Because everybody's talking a good game, but what about your walk? Next thing we see is Jacob said in verse 26, and he said, let me go. This is God speaking to Jacob, for the day breaks. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go except you bless me. He didn't know God had already secretly blessed him, but because he still had a resolve, and he come to the end of himself and he refused to let God go, he got a double portion. He got another blessing. He said, I won't let you go till you bless me. At this point, God was ready to give him a new name. He had already given him a new walk, but Jacob didn't know it. He said, but since he still won't let me go, I'm going to give him a new name. Now look at what happened. Before he gave him the new name, he asked a question. He said, what is thy name? Now, this is the breakthrough. When you can admit who you really are. Verse 27, he said unto him, what is thy name? Watch this. And he said, Jacob. Said another way. He said, I am surplanter. I am trickster. What is your name? Liar. What is your name? Con artists. God is asking us today, when you come to the end of yourself and you really ready to be blessed and stop playing church and having church and being religious, and this thing is personal to you and you want to change from the inside out, not just quoting scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. But the proof is in the pudding. When you come to the end of yourself, God is going to ask you, what is your name? And we have to be transparent and mature and honest enough to say out loud what we are. And for some of us, we have to say, I am pride. I am boastful. I am anger. I am bitterness. I am stress. I am religious, judgmental. I am lustful. I am gossip. I am liar. And until you can admit who you are, God won't change your name. Because the first stage to overcoming is admitting you have a problem. This is when God gave him a new name. And he said, you're no more Jacob. You're no more trickster. You're no more surplanter. You're no more con man. Your new name and names depict character. Your new name, because names depict nature. Your new name is Israel, which means Prince of God. What does that mean? See, princes are the sons of the king, which means if you are a prince, he went from being liar to covenant. He went from being trickster to having privileges. He went from being con artist to having authority and rights and access and position with God. God wants to give each of us a new name, and only the Spirit of God would tell you what that new name is. But it comes after you come to the end of yourself and wrestle with yourself. And as you wrestle with yourself, God appears and you begin to wrestle with God. And as you wrestle with God, he's going to give you a new walk. He's going to touch your seed. He's going to give you a new name. And look at this. As I end, and Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that you would ask my name?" And he blessed him there. This is what I want you to see here. God never told him his name. Jacob asked for the name. He didn't give a name. You know why he didn't give a name? Because when you have a true encounter with God and God changes you from the inside out, not just your confession of faith at the altar, not just, you know, us being religious and getting up in the morning and saying the religious stuff like I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, blessed when I go in and come out, blessed in the city and the field. Not just that, but an actual change. God won't tell you his name. You know why? Because as you go through the experience, you're going to give him a name. Look at it, verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. God wants us to give him a name, to give that experience a name, to give that transformation a name. It is our job. See, that's when the praise and worship and the thanksgiving come forth. And that's when we begin. He didn't want to tell Jacob what to say. He wanted Jacob to figure out what to say. If I blessed you, you figure out what to call me. If I healed you, you figure out what to call me. If I delivered you, you figure out what to call me. You're not a robot. He said, I'm not going to tell you my name. When you leave here, you begin to walk and you see that limp. When you go before your wives and your children, and when you go before Esau and they see that you got a new walk and you got a new way and you got a new glow upon you, you're going to know that you've been with me. So I'm going to leave it to you to say who I am. Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, meaning, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. I want to ask you, have you ever seen God face to face? You say, preacher, you know God is invisible. Why would you ask me such a silly question? Well, Jesus is the Word of God. And the Bible says the Word is a mirror. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to be your own mirror, just like Jacob, where you can look and declare who you really are, he would change you from the inside out. He would take away those things that's got you stuck. And you'll be able to say, I have seen God face to face, because God will reveal himself through his word. And when you get a revelation, when you take a hold of God's word and wrestle with him and you get a revelation from God and he changes your name and your walk, you will be able to say, I seen God face to face and my life was preserved. The Bible says in verse 31, and as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. Father God, I thank you that as the people on the sound of my voice begin to wrestle with you, begin to search for you with all of their heart, then they will find you. As we begin to ask and knock and seek, as we come to the end of ourselves, if we get along and they wrestle with that old man of the flesh, which qualifies us to wrestle with you. As we go through this experience, Father God, and we have that resolve that we're tired of being the way we are, and we get that resolve that this can't be all that this walk is in, is about, and we want more and more of you, because you yearn for us to grab a hold of you. You yearn for us to wrestle with you. You yearn for us to come to the end of ourselves. And you yearn for us to come to a place where we grab a hold of your promise, of that passage, of that person we read about in scripture, and say, that is me, that is for me, and we don't let it go. And we don't let you go. You're going to bless us with a new walk and a new name, and the sun will rise upon us. And as we walk out of that experience with a brand new name and a brand new walk, the persons, the people that used to be our enemy, you will give us peace with. In Jesus' name.